The healthcare industry is shifting, and it's time to do something different. North Mississippi Health Services is redesigning healthcare, and we want you to be part of it too. Well, good afternoon, and thank you for joining us for this afternoon's podcast on the E in a Great Redesign, which is evolving how work is done throughout our healthcare system. I'm excited to have Angie Everett join us this afternoon. Angie is our Vice President for Post-Acute and Rehab Services for our healthcare system. Thank you for being with us today. And as usual, we'll address a topic within a great redesign. And so today is the E in a great redesign, which we refer to as evolving how work is done in the healthcare system. But there are a couple of kind of components we want to make sure that we highlight for the audience today, and those being our SAS, as well as redesign. But we want to talk about then in the context of how you as a leader in our healthcare system work with multiple teams within post-acute and rehab services, how you apply those principles with those teams and accomplish some great work. So we'll highlight those some today. But so let's first talk about SAS. And let me just remind our audience what we when we refer to SAS, what that means. And so SAS is the acronym for a concept that we started working with about 2 years ago. So this predates the redesign strategy. So SAS is simplify, automate, scale, support, and sustain. And so I'll just quickly touch on those, and I want to find out what that truly means for you as a leader and how you use that in our system. So the simplify is really looking at how can we simplify the work of our teammates across the system, recognizing that we have some opportunities to add value to the work that we do, add meaning to the work that we do. And we know we can do that in some ways through automation. It can help us simplify the work and allow the staff to focus on more meaningful work. And then scale is taking these best practices that we've learned from different teams' application of SAS and apply those to other facilities or hospitals across our healthcare system. Support is around us as leadership groups, supporting our teams, empowering our teams to do that. Then the last is just sustaining those improvements or the gains that we create over a long period of time. So tell us a little bit about your experience as a leader applying SAS, but first of all, in your mind, what does SAS mean?
Well, for me, SAS is really just a tool that we use to do a couple things. One, of course, is to help the work be easier, better. Another is to improve the outcome of the patient in some way. We even talk about SAS in some ways even helping to improve joy in the workplace. I think about SAS and I think about it can be something as simple as creating a better, more organized closet, you know, where we keep supplies. Or it can be as sophisticated as changing the way that we actually create access for the patient or improve the care for the patient through something like an automated phone tree so that when patients call in, they have a more simplified way to get to us for care. I think about SAS as really just a tool that we use to help our teammates to make the work better and improve the work.
Yeah. Well, and I know when we started out or introduced the concept of SAS a couple of years ago, we really honed in on working with our teammates to address what we refer to as hassle factors in their job. And we really did that because we're trying to relate to the individual employee, trying to put it in terms that they would think about in their everyday jobs of things that might have been irritants or things they might have questioned, why do we do it this way?
Right.
And give them an opportunity to raise those questions and also give them an opportunity to engage in the solutions around that. Can you give us some examples of how y'all have applied that?
Yeah, so I think about, you know, when I think about the staff bringing forward thoughts and ideas, courageously being curious around why it is that we do the work we do like we do it. In some cases, it's how can we do more of this or less of this or stop doing this? I think for us, it's been about creating a culture where folks feel confident and comfortable and free to be able to raise their hand. In the best case scenario, that happens organically. Mm-hmm. Right? Everybody feels safe and everybody feels excited and everybody gets it and everybody's passionate and everybody is running toward the light of how we can do things better. And that happens through when you're rounding or someone can send me an email and say, Angie, why do we keep doing it? This, what are we doing? Why are we doing this? What is this form for? Is there a better way that we can do this? This doesn't make any sense. This has been my experience where I've worked somewhere else and this is better. Creating that culture where people feel confident in raising their hand and bringing forward those ideas or saying, this is a hassle for me, I think is really the first step. Mm-hmm. Knowing that you're always going to have folks who maybe don't feel comfortable doing that. Mm-hmm. And in those cases, I think it's important for the leader to create a way to mine for those ideas. That may be me simply, you know, we can do a survey with the staff and ask them specifically about a process, what's working, what's not working. It may be, you know, in a meeting, if someone doesn't feel comfortable speaking up in a meeting, it may be a one-on-one. If I'm rounding with you individually, asking you, tell me what you think is good or what is working about this. Tell me about what's not working. Tell me, you know, it's so funny because if you just ask the question, what drives you crazy? You know, you'll usually start to get those kinds of answers. Mm-hmm. So for me, when we think about stimulating those ideas around a SaaS project or thinking about how can we do the work differently, it's creating that culture where everybody feels good about saying what's on their mind and being able to give those ideas. And when you can't do that, mining for those.
Yeah. So motivating our employees to engage in SaaS-related efforts or initiatives is a key start to that. So once you recognize you have teammates engaged or motivated, how do you best support that team? Because you're not the one coming up with all the ideas or the solutions, right? Then you're saying, go do this. You're looking to the teams for those solutions. So talk to us about that approach and how to reach the employees and get those solutions out of the employees.
Yes. So for me, it's about, you know, when I think about, I'm thinking about one in particular project that we worked on. And of course, it was brought through an idea. Then you assemble the right people around the table, right? You need all the voices of all the people that are going to have an impact or provide good impact or input to whatever that outcome is going to be. And then for me, it's just about encouraging. It's about supporting. It's about empowering. Mm-hmm. It's also about creating a culture where we want to go fast. We want a result. But we also know that there are times when we may have to pivot and make change. So for me as the leader, it's encouraging and inspiring and empowering the people who are actually doing the work to come up with the ideas and then come up with the product or the result or whatever that change needs to happen. I myself need to be there to make sure that folks feel like their work matters, that their work, that they have joy at work, that we are focused on all of our change efforts, how that impacts the patient, mm-hmm. And making sure that, you know, I think about three things. You think about, when you think about those teammates and who's at the table making those changes happen, do they get it, right? Do they understand? Do they want it? Because you have to also inspire a passion in that, mm-hmm. right? And then, do they have the capacity to be able to do it? So for me, that's the three things that I'm trying to make sure we have. That people get it, they want it, and that they have the capacity to make it happen.
Awesome. Awesome. So you mentioned sometimes we have to pivot.
Yes.
We make changes and we need to pivot and make another change. We'll come back to that in just a minute. So what's been the outcome from your staff's perspective after they've gone through SaaS-related initiatives and had a chance to see the results or the outcomes from those initiatives? What's their response? Are they like, well, yeah, that's fine, but let's go on to something different or better? Or is it, hey, we like this and we want to do more of it?
I've seen, for me, it's when I look at the team and we've had a win, we've been able, and I can think about one example in particular where we brought a team together, we had a goal in mind, we achieved that goal, and now they're looking around, what's next? Mm-hmm. They get a confidence in the process. They get a confidence in themselves. They get a confidence in seeing how the team and the relationship of the team, the interdependency of work, of it takes you and you and you, and every voice matters, and every voice is going to create the change to happen. And to me, it's almost like you take a recipe, mm-hmm. and that recipe creates a product. And then we apply that same recipe again, and there's synergy around that. Mm-hmm. So my experience with the staff has been that they've been very excited about results. They've been very excited to know that that what we're focused, the energy that we're putting into both SaaS and redesign is to make their work better and easier, and that their work matters, and it matters to them, and that it's improving the care that we're taking to the patients.
Awesome. So, Angie, we've talked about SaaS. We've had about 2 years of experience working with the SaaS concept or applying the SaaS concept to various initiatives. We rolled out a great redesign strategy in 2023, so some year and a half after we rolled out SaaS. I've had the question asked of me, so how is a great redesign compared to SaaS, and how do we reconcile the two? Are they different? Are they the same?
I think they're different. When I think about SaaS, I think about it like a tool in the redesign toolbox. You know, when I think about SaaS, it's a project or an improvement or a hassle factor that we're going to come around and make change pretty quickly. When I think about the redesign, and I think about a great redesign and what is embodied in each one of those, I think about it's, and this may be a crazy word to use, but for me it's almost like the a great redesign is, it takes the SaaS and makes it a little more sophisticated. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit more involved. It's a little bit, I mean, there's a lot that goes into a redesign that's usually not just motivated by a hassle factor,
yep.
right?
Right.
A redesign is usually motivated because we're responding to a regulatory change, or we're responding to a reimbursement issue, or a rising cost issue, or a staff, or a supply, or a resource that we don't have anymore, or we need more of, or something that we're trying to create a new product or service or access for the patient. So when you think about redesign, you're really redesigning the work to create an outcome that's very different than just a SaaS project. The SaaS can be a tool within
right.
that redesign work,
right?
But that's the way I think about it.
Yeah. So we think about SaaS in terms of a lot of different initiatives
yes.
or projects that are going on, and we add up all those SaaS projects, it makes for a huge impact or a huge change, positive change. But I see a great redesign strategy is like SaaS on steroids.
Good.
And it's just dealing
yes.
with, I guess, bigger or broader opportunities
yes.
for a healthcare system. You mentioned earlier that y'all have had a lot of experience around redesign effort. And I think you mentioned home health
yes.
redesign. So share with us your experience around the home health redesign efforts. Number one, why did you guys redesign home health? How did you go about creating that redesign and implementing it, and then what's been the outcome from that?
You know, it was, I think what started the conversation around the home health redesign was our inability to get to all the patients that we needed to get to timely. We were facing regulatory changes, we were facing reimbursement changes, we were facing Epic coming, we were facing a shortage of nursing staff, We had staff that would raise their hand and say, Angie, I live in Itawamba County, and I have lots of patients in Itawamba County that I need to see, but you are redirecting me to Webster County because we don't have as much staff in Webster County. And so when we looked at our footprint across all of the counties that we care for in home health, we knew that we had to redesign the work. We had to redesign our approach. We had to redesign how our teams were structured. We redesigned how our leadership structure, instead of being, you think about discipline-specific advocacy and discipline-specific silos versus a team around the patient. Mm-hmm. So we redesigned all of that in order to scale back our footprint so that we could serve more patients within our primary service area. And in that process, work to try to bring more joy to the employees, reduce the cost of care, and be more prepared for Epic and for our regulatory changes. Mm-hmm. The outcome has been very good. We were able to reduce our vehicle fleet, which did save us money across covering a smaller territory. Mm-hmm. We brought those territories under more team-based approach. And we've been able to accomplish quite a few, really positive things for the patient. We're doing this wonderful thing called a driveway conference, where we're having a conversation with the team via our we have all this technology
virtual.
Now
yeah.
that we can do these virtual driveway conferences yeah. to get input from the team about the care plan.
Yep.
So very, very good work that's come from that.
That's awesome. So what I heard, and the way I think about it, is this home health redesign is an example of how your work touches on every component of a great redesign, because you mentioned access. You know, you wanted to improve access for patients within the primary service area. There's a reimbursement model change
yep.
that drove some of that redesign in it. There was some growth opportunity to serve more patients
Start
within
right.
our service area. You had to evolve how you did the work in home health to meet those challenges and those opportunities around it. And you leveraged some tools like the new Epic system
right.
that we just went live with just over a month ago to help support that redesign work. So it's an awesome example of a great redesign work in action today. But in doing a lot of work around SaaS and a great redesign, not everything works as planned, right?
That's
You're
right.
not 100% correct 100% of the time.
That's right.
So you've shared some experiences with me that I think would be valuable for the audience to reflect on your experience with applying SaaS and the redesign work, that, sometimes we do have to pivot and change from changes that we've made. So if you would share some experience around that.
Yes, I'd be happy to. You know, it's interesting because there's a commonality in some, and I won't necessarily call them mistakes, maybe oversights. When we think about redesigning the work, applying SaaS, and we think about all the logistics, right? I think in a couple of different areas where we've done redesign, I think we've underestimated a common powerful thing, and that is humanity and relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll give you a couple of examples of that. You know, when we did the home health redesign, we took some teams that were already established out there in the wild, is what I call the home. Mm-hmm. Our folks that work in home health, they'll like that. They know that I know they work out in the wild, right? But they worked out in the wild with these established teams, with an established leader that they knew and loved, in a structure that was comfortable, in a structure that they were used to. And when we changed that structure and we changed that approach, folks had to make the leap to a new team.
And some of them describe that as they changed families. And so, you know, we didn't go back and make those changes and change the changes that we made. We did redesign some of the redesign, but but when we think about now, it's about helping and supporting folks and understanding and knowing that part of what our leadership competency is in that is to support and expect folks to move themselves through the change process while also acknowledging and understanding that there's a grieving that happens sometimes when those things happen. We had the same thing happen when we did some redesign recently with case management. We had a unit-based model where our case managers were assigned to nursing units. And we changed that model to respond to some staffing shortages and assigned those case managers in some redesign work, primarily with providers. And we realized pretty quickly that the relationship between each of those case managers with their nursing unit, that synergy and that work that happens as a result of that relationship was greater than the logistics results that we were getting around that redesign work. So we did go back. There were things about the redesign that stayed in play. And, you know, a lot of that is doing some basic case management work that we know works, that's hardwired as a part of best practice. But knowing that we needed to reconnect those relationships because there was a lot of value in that was important. So I think that's been a real learning, I think, for us as a leadership team. Is we can get the feedback from the staff, we can get around the table, we can create a plan, we can have a logistics that we think works, we can execute the plan, we can even get the results that we want, but we also have to understand and know the power of somehow, sometimes those, the humanities and those relationships can change and how that can create some disruption, among the team.
So there's no such thing as a perfect plan, right?
There is no such thing as a perfect plan.
We'll work hard to plan appropriately, but recognize that if things don't work, work out the best way, that we're willing and open and want to address the learnings that come up as we go through that change process, and we're willing to adapt the redesign as needed to get to the best outcome at the end of the day.
Because we
see the win-win in this. It's not only about delivering the best outcome to the patient, but it's also providing the most meaningful and satisfaction for our employees that are working with us on these redesign efforts. So it's great to hear that we're willing to step back and assess what we've done. If things aren't working in the best way possible, we'll address it.
Yes.
And we'll make changes as necessary.
And sometimes when you do the redesign work and you have the best laid plans, they don't create the result that you want.
Right.
And I think then you go back to the drawing board to say, okay, how can we regroup and have a different approach? Because ultimately, all of this work needs to have a result that's tangible and understandable and can be acknowledged and recognized and measured, right?
Right.
Because we, you know, it's not as if we're trying to invoke SAS or redesign for the fun of it, right? We want there to be a positive outcome, either for the employee, for the team, for the patient, all of that around the work, and around our, what I would say, if it doesn't positively impact one of the critical success factors, why are we really spending our time doing it?
Right. So just to kind of bring us to a close and thinking about the work that you all have done in your areas. You highlighted home health and several examples of application of SAS and a great redesign. I mean, at the end of the day, we need and are looking for the engagement of all of our teammates in this process. And so how important do you think are the SAS tools and the redesign efforts at generating engagement from our employees? Or do you think our employees just see it as the flavor of the month or something that we as leadership
think sounds good, mm-hmm. but may not do it in practice. Mm. And I'm asking you to be vulnerable here because I think it's important for the audience to hear us in how we think about this from leadership.
See it as a reflection of what the leader believes it to be. You know, for me personally, I have a great passion for our employees feeling heard. I have a great passion for patients having good care, good outcomes, and access to good health care. I have a great passion for our employees having joy at work and that their relationships and their voice is meaningful. And to me, if you're a leader and you're not using SaaS and redesign as a way to create that, then you're missing a real opportunity. Because it's not a flavor of the month. We can call it anything that we want to call it. But ultimately, it's us as an organization creating a culture where we're constantly going to be in motion to create improvements. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's a framework that we can use to get people excited about change.
Right.
I mean, change is tough. And change is hard, and a lot of people don't like change. But nothing good ever comes from staying the same.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So, you know, do I believe that the employees that are engaged and involved and challenged and empowered and given the safe space to raise their hand and be a part of redesign and SaaS, see its value mm-hmm. and feel and think as though it's something that is going to improve their work and the outcome for their patient, and you connect the why to their heart and their mind, they're going to do anything in the world to make that happen.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you for that feedback. Thank you for being with us this afternoon and sharing your experiences from the post-acute in rehab areas. Thank you for your leadership in applying the SaaS and redesign principles. They're great examples of what we're doing and should be doing across the entire system to not only engage our teammates across the system, but engage them in a way that leads to better outcomes for work life as well as the care of patients. So thank you, Angie. So thank you all for joining the podcast this afternoon. Just a quick reminder, we would like to hear from you. So please use the link that's attached to the podcast show notes to provide that feedback. So let us know what you think about our topics and the format of a podcast. But also, if there are other questions or topics that are of interest to you that you'd like us to share through this podcast format, please recommend those to us. So thanks again for joining us. And Angie, thank you again for being a part of this session.
Thank you for the opportunity.